More than 60% of people living with HIV remain without antiretroviral therapy. Women and girls, men who have sex with men, transgender people, sex workers, young people, and people who use drugs and other marginalized groups remain underprioritized in the response. Investment in HIV prevention research appear to have flattened, and widespread violations of human rights, including criminalization, continue to undermine effective responses. This is the challenge facing experts gathered in South Africa. South African Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, who also chairs the South African National AIDS Council, is officiating on behalf of Pretoria. Ramaphosa told a press conference that the gathering is key in fighting the pandemic.
On behalf of the South African government, I would really like to thank the International AIDS Society and its partners for bringing this International AIDS Conference 2016 to Durban here in South Africa, in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. This, as most of us will know, is the second time that South Africa is hosting this global conference, a gathering of some 18,000 people, which really brings together a number of key players in this struggle against this epidemic: professionals, health workers, scientists, activists, policymakers, and indeed also people living with HIV. And all of us are involved in the common cause of ridding this world of this epidemic. And this conference opens on the birthday of our former president and our collective global champion of the struggle against HIV and AIDS, Nelson Mandela.
Those attending the event include United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, SADC heads of state and government, singer Elton John, and Britain's Prince Harry will host a session at the conference discussing the HIV pandemic among young people. The International AIDS Society, or IAS, which organizes the conference, is the world's leading independent association of HIV professionals with over 18,000 members from more than 196 countries working at all levels of the global response to AIDS. The IAS members include researchers from all disciplines, public health and community practitioners on the front lines of the epidemic, as well as policy and program planners. These members have descended on Durban to find ways of combating the pandemic that has claimed more than 30 million lives in 35 years. The Zimbabwe delegation at the conference is headed by Health Minister Dr. David Parirenyatwa, who says the key message to the conference was prevention. He said for Harare to achieve its target on ending AIDS, there was need to, quote, close the tap of new HIV infections, close quote. Zimbabweans attending include Daniel Molokele, Executive Director at AIDS Accountability International, who says Harare can reap huge benefits from the conference.
Yes, I'm aware that Zimbabwe is well represented here, not just by civil society, but also government. Zimbabwe is going to be co-hosting an event, I think, it's on Tuesday evening. I mean, the Minister of Health, Dr. Parirenyatwa, the Minister of Health, will be there. And also UNAIDS, Ford Foundation, all those kind of agencies will also be partnering with Zimbabwe, especially around prevention strategies. So it's important that Zimbabwe be visible here because we're one of the countries that is worst affected by the HIV epidemic.
Chairwoman Martha Tolana of the Zimbabwe Network for Positive Women concurs.
Zimbabwe will also be sharing their lessons learned and what they've come up in research. So this is highly significant because it's one of those places where the largest number of people from Zimbabwe are in one place with a very large number of other people, scientists, doctors, nurses, community members all gather together to share experiences, to learn from each other.
Ending the pandemic by 2030 has been set as the goal by UN member nations. They've also pledged treatment for 30 million people living with HIV by 2020. The UN, though, has warned that efforts are lagging. Mr. Ban told the conference today that the funding remains a stumbling block in achieving this goal.
Many donor countries have supported the global funds to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. The world has proven that when we come together, we can transform lives. But the gains are inadequate and fragile. More than half of all people living with HIV still lack access to treatment.
There are some 36.7 million people worldwide living with HIV/AIDS, mainly in sub-Saharan Africa. Of these, only 17 million are receiving treatment. By ending the epidemic by 2030, the world would avert 18 million new HIV infections and 11.2 million AIDS-related deaths between 2013 and 2013. In April 2001, the African Union countries met in Abuja and pledged to set a target of allocating at least 15% of their annual budget to improve the health sector and urged donor countries to scale up support. Years later, only one African country reached this Abuja Declaration target. Molokela says this is a major blow to fighting the pandemic.
And as you know, health, not just HIV, health in Africa is struggling in terms of financial priorities. Most budgets in Africa prioritize security, the army and the police, you know, instead of social situations.
Tolana echoes the same sentiments.
Zimbabwe is receiving reduced funding, but this is a problem that is worldwide. And it's worrying because we wonder how we will manage. But despite that, I think everyone on the Zimbabwe team that is working around HIV is committed and will continue to work hard with what they have at hand to make sure that, you know, we defeat this HIV pandemic.
New infections globally fell 6% since 2010 from 2.2 million to 2.1 million, and AIDS-related deaths have almost halved from their peak at 2 million in 2005. Infections are soaring in North Africa and the Middle East, which now has the fastest growing epidemic. In Russia, where reported HIV infections topped 1 million last year, government resistance to supporting programs for gay men and drug users is exacerbating the crisis. Molokela says, sadly, this is also happening in Zimbabwe.
The HIV epidemic does not know any of these moralist or cultural, religious or legal boundaries that we have imposed upon our strategies. Zimbabwe is one of the countries that is struggling to accept that key populations, sexual minorities, are at the center of the response.
Although Harare's prevalence rate has dropped from an all-time high of over 30% to around 15%, Zimbabwe is still grappling with inadequate funding to curtail the disease. Zimbabwe has the fifth highest HIV prevalence in sub-Saharan Africa at 15%. At least 1.4 million people are living with HIV, including 170,000 children, equating to 4% of the global total. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Blessing Zulu.